Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on worms, intestinal parasites, when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in Scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. And the Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, as it's called in the Bible, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, let us prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. To do just that, why don't you call or write the law school and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems that are described in the Scripture. And let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive Global 2000 and these other 64 life-threatening problems that are called the Great Tribulation in the Bible. Just call and order my free General Law CD package. That's a place to start. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website. The website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and then send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of worms. It's a disgusting subject, isn't it? I mean, that's worse than talking about sex or politics in public. But these intestinal parasites, of which there's probably about 10 main parasites, there's the beef, pork, and fish tapeworm. Most of us eat beef, pork, or fish. And in those meats, we pick up those tapeworms because the meat is rare. Most people like to eat beef rare or medium rare. And it doesn't get hot enough to kill those tapeworms. So as a result of that, we pick up these tapeworms or one of these other types of worms. Some of them so small, they're microscopic. Some of them so big, they're 5 feet long. 5 feet. Can you imagine a worm 5 feet long down in your intestines? Well, you may have them, and if you do, you may have symptoms. I described in the last program the symptoms that are attendant to these tapeworms. Migraine headaches, that's a common one. People will complain about migraine headaches. Now, it could be that you're just dehydrated and short of water. But it could be that you're suffering from worms, intestinal parasites, and those intestinal parasites travel throughout your body. They don't just stay down in your gut. These intestinal parasites, they come up all over your body. They can get into your eyes and cause blindness. They can get into your brain and cause disease symptoms. They can get into your heart and give you heart pains, make you think you're having a heart attack. And indeed, some of these parasites will kill you, like the pork parasite, the trichinella parasite. So, you know, the Bible tells you not to eat pig, and there's a good reason for that. It tells you to go ahead and eat beef. But you see, the reason that we're getting parasites in beef is that we crowd them together in these humongous feedlots. Natural grass-fed beef don't have intestinal parasites, and if they do, their immune systems will take care of them. It isn't nearly the problem that it is when you crowd them together in these industrial factories, but you know that's the way agriculture is in America. It's the American way, industrial agriculture, and as a result of that, we're having some problems with mad cow disease, and worms are just an offshoot, just a natural phenomenon that occurs when we crowd these animals together and we keep them in unnatural circumstances, and then we get diseases that come from them. Downer cow syndrome, mad cow disease, what they call it in England. Over here, we call it Downer cow syndrome. About 100,000 of them a year die from that. We don't want to call that mad cow disease. That's because it would injure a very major multi-billion-dollar a year beef industry. We don't want to do that. After all, it's nothing personal, boys and girls. It's just business. Just business. All right. Now, I'm covering another document here that I picked up off of the internet over here. It comes from an outfit called www.genhealth.com. So G-E-N-H-E-A-L-T-H. If you'd like to get a copy of the report yourself, it's Genesis Health Products Online Good Health Center. We'll take a look at parasites and we'll take a look at what do you do to get rid of them. They're not too difficult to get rid of. And if you've got arthritis, there's a good possibility that it's caused by the worms that are in the joints. Isn't that just special? So if you could kill those worms in the joints, then your arthritis would go away. I bet you'd like that. Now, most stomach aches and colitis could have a parasite involvement. Liver damage and liver trouble can often be caused by worms. Sometimes a colony of worms will crawl up into your gallbladder and give you trouble. Now, this can be trouble with overweight people, and the worms are being well fed. The body is only getting the water and the calories, but a fraction of the nutrients. So you're getting fatter and fatter. And you go on the starvation diet, and it really bothers you. You know, you're sitting there saying, God, I really feel bad because I'm starving to death and gaining weight at the same time. Starving to death and gaining weight. Caused by worms. In a nutritional almanac printed by McGraw-Hill and reproduced in part below in red, worms irritate the intestinal lining and therefore cause poor absorption of nutrients. Signs of worms may include diarrhea, hunger pains, loss of appetite, weight loss, and anemia. In the Miami Herald, Dateline, June 25th, 1978, 23 years ago now, an article appeared titled Worms Outrank Cancer as Man's Deadliest Enemy. Let me read that again. Worms outrank cancer as man's deadliest enemy. And it reads, one of every four people in the world is infected with roundworms, which cause fever, cough, and intestinal problems. One-fourth of the world's people have hookworms, which can cause anemia and abdominal pain. Another third of a billion people suffer from abdominal pain and diarrhea caused by whipworms. Now, not much research is being done on these diseases, for example, parasite-related diseases. The United States spends more than $800 million a year on cancer and cancer research. All the nations in the world combined spend less than 1/20th that amount studying parasitic diseases. Of the amount of money spent on cancer research, one thing is agreed upon, that toxins and poisons in the body cause chronic irritation of tissues, which results in cancer. There's also plenty of other evidence that cancer of internal structures, such as organs or other tissues, is caused by chronic irritation of the cells by toxins in the body. All right, let me pause here for a moment, and let's talk about that for a second. Hulda Clark wrote a book on the cure to cancer. She made an observation in there, and she said that everybody that she's looked at, she's a naturopath, everybody she's looked at, who has cancer is infested with worms, no exceptions. Do the worms cause cancer? Well, probably. Let me show you why. The worm itself doesn't harm you. And he's just living down there, you know, just kind of like a freeloader living on the Riviera. You're paying the freight, so he's just living there. He's eating your food, drinking your coffee, drinking your whiskey, and having a good time in the process. It's all free to him. But in the process of doing this, he has to go potty. You know, the worm has to go potty, just like you go potty. And that potty, that toxin, the toxic waste that comes from the worm, toxifies you. It poisons you. That's what it does. Here's why. See, if he's down in your intestinal tract, it's no big deal because it just goes out with your waste. But when that worm goes potty and he's up in your heart, or he goes potty, you know, sometimes he might even go big, number two, in your lungs, or in your brain, or in your eyeball, or some other location in your body, hell, maybe in your little finger. Then your body has to dispose of that toxic waste. And a lot of times what happens is your body makes a cyst around it. We call that cancer, but it makes a cyst around that toxic waste to dispose of it. And as a result of that, the cancer develops around that irritation. Now, cancer specialists and researchers have been making some observations. But as I mentioned in the last program, you know, these worms are cheap to get rid of. I mean, it's no big deal. We worm our cattle here routinely. I worm all of my cows and sheep routinely. What I do in the fall of the year right now, I take a bunch of green walnuts and I throw them in the water troughs. Then when the cows come up to drink, they have to drink that icky tasting black walnut water. They don't like it. So I shut them off from all the springs and natural sources, so the only place they can get water is in the water trough, and the water trough is loaded up with those black walnuts. So I worm the livestock. Now, normal cattlemen, they use commercial preparations of toxic chemicals. This is an organic farm, so we try to use natural organic remedies. And the cattle get it once a year in the fall, and they have their natural immune system, and your natural immune system is fighting off these worms and killing them right and left. But what happens when you get AIDS, or you get your body is worn down, you're not getting enough nutrients, or you're getting too many toxins, breathing too much of that Los Angeles air, and your immune system doesn't work quite up to 100% of efficiency, maybe it's working at half or three quarters, and the worms build up. As the worms build up, the toxic waste builds up, and then one day you come down with something really nasty like cancer or heart attack or stroke or something else. Muscular dystrophy or some other disease. Remember, one out of every four people in the world is infected with roundworms. That's 25%. Now, of the amount of money spent on cancer research, one thing is agreed upon, that the toxins and poisons in your body cause chronic irritation of tissues, which results in cancer. And there's also plenty of other evidence that cancer of internal structures, such as organs or other tissues, is caused by chronic irritation of the cells by toxins in your body. Almost all of the books are written by so-called quacks. You know all these quacks out here? Claim that cancer can be cured by cleansing the body and ridding it of parasites and toxins. In other words, once the tissues stop being irritated by excessive quantities of toxins in the blood, the cancer not only stops proliferating, but actually disappears altogether if the treatment started in time. Now note that only the medical profession attempts to treat cancer by introducing more toxic drugs into the body. So you get cancer and they say, well, we got to give you cut, burn, and poison treatment over here, chemotherapy. And of course that's good for the pharmaceutical companies, and it's good for cancer oncologists and cancer specialists, and it's good for hospitals and doctors, and it creates a $500 billion a year industry. Now you can't blame people for wanting to make a living. So you come in the door and you've got cancer. And the doctor says, well, gee, do I want to send this guy home and give him black walnut hulls that he could pick up in his backyard, stick in a quart jar, pour some vodka over it, and cure himself for nothing? Well, for the price of a bottle of vodka, $10, you know. Or do I want to sell this guy a program for $100,000 over the next 18 months and treat his cancer aggressively, the scientific way? Now, science comes up with a number of different ways of curing cancer or treating cancer, and it works 37% of the time. So out of every 100 cancer patients that walk in the door, 37 of them walk out and live for 5 years. I don't know if they're cancer-free, but they live for 5 years. And if you live for 5 years, with or without cancer, they call that a cure, 37%. Now, the other 63% die. So if you're in that 63%, then you come down with cancer, and you need a more intelligent solution to your problem, you go to the naturopath, and he prescribes vitamins and minerals. He prescribes that you get rid of your worms, and it doesn't cost very much. It's pretty cheap. It's one of the things that attracted me to holistic medicine or holistic physicians, is that it's cheap. And I'm Scott, so I'm all for saving money. Now, I'm not opposed to people that want to spend $100,000. My wife was approached that way. In 1978, she had cancer. It was pretty bad. They said, well, lady, you're going to die. Give you about 6 months to live. You know, the famous six-month program. Now, we can put you on chemotherapy, and we can cut, burn, and poison, and we can probably extend your life for 18 months. And she asked, well, how much is all this modern miracle medicine going to cost? And they said about $100,000. That's in 1978, $100,000. Hasn't changed much. It's still just about $100,000 to die from cut, burn, and poison. And then she said, well, is it going to cure me? No, no. You're still going to die, but it'll be a year and a half from now instead of in 6 months. So she thunk about that for a while, and she said, well, if I'm going to die anyway, probably my family could use that $100,000 just as effectively and probably more efficiently and probably do them a whole lot more good than paying it over to this doctor and a bunch of hospitals and Merck and Pfizer. And so she said, well, thanks, but no thanks, and went on home, built a greenhouse out here, and went on the Ann Wigmore program, Gerson program. She did three of them, Gerson, Wigmore, and one other. For 2 years and 8 months, she never ate meat. You have to go on a vegetarian kick for a while until you kick the cancer. And that was 78. Let's see, 88, 98, 99, 105, 7. That's 27 years ago. And she's still kicking. She's lively. She's still lively. And so here at the farm, we practice naturopathic health style. I was going to say medicine, but it's really not medicine. It's more of a health regimen that you get on. And of course, we don't eat unclean meats. And now a lot of people tell you, well, see, you ought to be a vegetarian. And I always tell them, well, that's probably true. Vegetarians are good people, and I'm not opposed to vegetarianism, except that it's a doctrine of devils. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll eat a hamburger once in a while, but not from McDonald's. I produce my own meat here, and I recommend highly that you do the same. And if you can't, that you find a producer or a supplier that can supply you with clean, wholesome food. I'm going to talk about radiation when I get through with these worms over here, because irradiated food is really being promoted now here in America. I can't speak for the rest of the world, but boy, we Americans, we suck up technology like it was something we invented, you know. We really love it. Anything that's new, anything that's technological, it could be Dolly the sheep, it could be GMOs, it could be nuclear food, we want it. We want to try it. We don't need to have any experiments done or any trials done. Hell, we just feed it to people. We just do the trials in motion. Just go ahead and give us the GMOs, and we'll just take a look at the population in 30 years and see what happens. So I'm not recommending that, and I want to suggest to you that you think about these worms, boys and girls, because I mentioned to you in the last program about 20 or 30 symptoms or diseases are caused by these critters, including some pretty heavy-duty diseases like cancer. So if you come down with one of these diseases before you run off to Merck and Pfizer and the doctor and you go through the cut, burn, and poison routine, why don't you think about, gee, maybe for $10 I could rid myself of this problem by getting rid of the worms. Now, almost all of the books written by these so-called quacks. You see, modern medicine, they can't answer the question of why can't you cure cancer after all the billions of dollars that have been spent on it. And so what they do is they turn around and they attack anybody else that can cure it. Cancer is a relatively easy disease to cure. I say relatively, it takes a little know-how, but relatively easy. And yet the allopathic medicine wonders, they can't cure it. And they tell you that plainly. They say, well, we don't know what causes it, and we don't know what cures it. But for $100,000, we can sure treat it. And that always did make me wonder about that, because if I had a car, well, let's just picture this, boys and girls. Let's suppose you had a car, and it ain't running too good. And so you think you'll take it down to Mike the mechanic, and you run it by him, and you say, hey, Mike, listen to this motor over here. And so he listens real careful, and you say, do you know what's wrong with that motor? And he says, no, I don't know. No, I haven't got a clue. And then you say, well, Mike, do you think you could fix that motor? And he says, No, I can't fix it. But hey, for $25 an hour, I'll tear into it and I'll just work on it as best I can. And if I get it fixed, okay. And if I don't get it fixed, you just pay up and shut up. I don't know of anybody that would leave their car with a mechanic that said that. You go into a medical doctor and he comes back. He says, well, I can tell you this. You got a blown engine. I mean, you got cancer and 6 months to live. And I don't know what caused your cancer, and I don't know how to cure it. I can't fix it. But listen, for $25 an hour, we'll work on it until you run out of money. Doctors don't work for $25. I guess it's more like $75 or $150 an hour. Hey, we'll work on it until you run out of money. And people just eat that up. They go to the doctors. They go to the special clinics, and they just love it. Well, that's here in America. I can't speak for the rest of the people in the world, but boy, in America, we love that program. And 63% of us die on that program. 37% survive it. I don't know if they cure them or if these people are just tough asses and they survive it in spite of what they do to them with the cut, burn, and poison program. Now, we get a thing called amoeba worms and other intestinal parasites. There are several types of parasitic worms which can live in human intestines, and the most common being pinworms, tapeworms, hookworms, and roundworms. Want that one again? Pinworms, tapeworms, hookworms, and roundworms. And if you'd like a copy of this report, it's called www.genhealth.com. You can get it right off the web free of charge. Worms irritate the intestinal lining and therefore cause poor absorption of nutrients. Signs of worms often include diarrhea, hunger pains, appetite loss, weight loss, and anemia. Diagnosis can be made by examining the stools, that's examining your poops, or occasionally by inducing and vomiting the worms. Well, boy, isn't that just special. We just stick our fingers down our throats and puke them up. The extent of intestinal damage is then determined by the type of worm, the size of the worm, and the number of worms present. Pinworms are the most common parasitic worm in the United States. The chief symptom of this small, thread-like worm is rectal itching. So if you're scratching your butt all the time, you probably have pinworms, especially at night. Pinworms are transmitted when the eggs, which lodge under the fingernails when a person scratches, contaminates food. Personal hygiene is very important for the control of pinworms. So after you scratch your butt, be sure you wash your hands. Tapeworms can be contracted from eating insufficiently cooked meats, especially beef, pork, and fish. The most common tapeworm in the United States is the beef tapeworm, which can grow to a length of 15 to 20 feet in your intestines. Did you get that? 15 to 20 feet for the beef tapeworm. He's the champion. He's the biggie. Hookworms are often found in the soil or sand of moderate climates. They can enter the body by boring holes through your skin of your bare feet. Or they can enter the mouth if food contaminated by dirty hands is eaten. That's why, again, it's good if you wash your hands. Roundworms are most common in children. These worms can leave the intestines and settle in different areas of your body, causing diseases such as pneumonia, jaundice, or seizures. Now, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they come down with a thing called epilepsy. Nobody knows what causes epilepsy. Napoleon had epilepsy. Alexander the Great had epilepsy. What if I said, well, what they had was worms. They had intestinal parasites. You know, they were running around the world conquering everybody, and they picked up intestinal parasites and got epilepsy. Well, have you thought about, you know, you epileptics out there, have you thought about getting rid of your worms? Now, our boy Dirk here had epilepsy for many, many years. And he went to college. Our boy Dirk, he's a pretty smart kid, and he went to college. And, of course, you know, when you graduate from college, you know, you're a pretty smart kid, and you got letters after your name, you know everything. And when he got to be about 20, well, I guess he started having epileptic seizures when he was about 21. He got out of college about that time. He went to college a little early, smart kid, and got out a little early. About 20, he started having epileptic seizures, and so immediately he knew what to do. He went to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, son, you got epilepsy, and we've got just the cure for you. We've got this real neat drug to control your seizures. Now, it won't cure the epilepsy, but it'll control these seizures. And so he said, well, gee, I got epilepsy. I guess I got to take this medicine. Now, his mama said, now, listen, son. These medicines are drugs. These drugs are witchcraft. This witchcraft is prohibited by the scripture, but it's worse than that. It's worse than that. They're toxic. They're poisons. And you ought not to take this. And the boy looked at his mom and said, well, have you got a degree after your name? And she said, no. Well, then you're not as smart as I am, because I've got a degree after my name, and I'm going to take these drugs. And so from about 1985, I think it was, 84, 85, he took these drugs until 2 years ago. It did control the seizures at the beginning, but you know your body develops kind of an immunity to drugs. And that's why I guess cocaine addicts and heroin addicts have to have more and more of it. You know, your body develops an immunity to it, so you gotta use more and more. And that's the way it was, and pretty soon it wasn't controlling his seizures anymore. And one day he woke up and he said, you know, I think I'll have to get off this medication. So he went to the doctor and he said, I got to get off this medication. And the doctor said, that's impossible. You know, once you start on epileptic seizure medicines, you never can quit. You have to take it till you die. I don't know if that's really true or not, because the boy said, well, I'm going to kick the habit. And he was hard to live with, I'm telling you, for about 3 months while he got off them. He cut them in half, and then he cut that in half, and he cut that in half. And he started taking vitamins and minerals and treating it naturally and holistically, and his seizures went away. We don't know if he's cured or not, but his seizures have stopped. Now, he still has one once in a while. I shouldn't say they stopped. He still has one once in a while, but he used to have two or three a day, grand mal seizures. Now he maybe has one a month. And they're pretty mild. They're nowhere near the kind that he was having before. And he's done that holistically. And one of the things that his mama told him, she said, son, you got worms. Boy, you got worms, and you need to get rid of those worms first. And so one of the first things that they did while they were getting off of drugs, right up front, they started worming him while he was coming off the drugs. And once he got rid of the worms, and got off the drugs, the epilepsy went away. Isn't that just real special? Hang on here. Let me give you a reminder, and we'll be back with more on worms, intestinal parasites, when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Now, for more information, you can go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website. Remember, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law Hour offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or management or staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about parasites, worms, those nasty little critters that live in your body. They don't just live in your intestinal tract either. Now, the big worms, you know, those big beef tapeworms, 15, 20 feet long, they just live down in your gut. They're not running around out in your little finger up and down your lungs or liver or something like that. But there's a number of these worms. There's a bunch of different types of worms. Some of them are microscopic. I mean, they're just little dudes. And they can go all through your body, and just raise hell with you. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now, roundworms are the most common type of worms in children. These worms can leave the intestines and settle in different areas of your body, causing diseases such as pneumonia, jaundice, or seizures. Now, I just talked to you about seizures here. Just tuck that one away in your heart. When a person is afflicted with worms, the body's supply of all nutrients is depleted to the point that supplementation of all nutrients is necessary to restore normal health. Nutrients of special importance are vitamin A, the B complex, especially thiamine, riboflavin, B6, B12, and pantothenic acid, vitamin C, D, and K, and calcium, iron, and protein. And that's because all those little worms down there are sucking all that up. I mean, they're living off of you. They're probably smoking Havana cigars, drinking the best whiskey that money can buy, and sucking down the best steaks and chops that you can eat, and depriving you and your body of the nutrients that it needs, and so you come down with these diseases. That's the way that game is played. It's called dietary deficiency, and animals kept on diets deficient in protein or vitamins A, B1, B2, biotin, folic acid, or other nutrients have been infested with many types of parasites, including trichinae, that's a pigworm, obtained from undercooked pork. And trichinomus, which can grow in the lungs or intestines as readily as in and around your vagina, ladies. And when these same parasites have been repeatedly implanted in healthy animals, infestations have not occurred as long as the diet has been adequate. All right, now let's pause there for a moment adequate diet. If you have a good diet, it will build your immune system, and your body's immune system will kill off the parasites. But they only kills them off, you know, one time. And then they come back. See, let's go back here to the beginning. You know, you go down to a steak and ale, and you sit down, and you say, well, I'd like to have a filet mignon tonight, and I'd like to have it rare, or medium well, or medium, or something like that, and it isn't cooked all the way through. In that piece of meat, since it came from a feedlot over in Wichita, Kansas, where those animals are crowded together in very unnatural conditions, and you eat that steak, it's probably got some beef tapeworm, or maybe it has roundworms, hookworms, pinworms, or some other kind of worms in the meat. I mean, that's just the way life is. And you reinfect yourself every time you eat one of those infected pieces of meat. And for you vegetarians who are laughing up your sleeves saying, ha ha, I don't eat meat, I want to remind you of the little brown men in Salinas, California, who came from south of the border, whose hygiene and habits aren't exactly the best. Well, out in those fields, sometimes those boys have to go potty big, and maybe they have toilet paper, and maybe they don't. I just wanted to suggest to you that while they're picking that lettuce over there, sometimes their hands ain't the cleanest in the world, and then it gets on the lettuce, or it gets on the carrots, peas, rutabagas, or whatever else you got. And when you eat those healthy wild oats salads, it may be infected with, and probably is, and I would go so far as to say if it isn't, it would be a miracle, I tell you, if it wasn't infected with some kind of worms. And so you vegetarians eat that off of the salad bar, and you become infected. Now, the one good thing about people that are vegetarians is that they're very health-conscious people. Vegetarians ain't dummies. Vegetarians are very, very conscious of good food, and they eat a lot of it. And they're very conscious of nutrition and vitamins and minerals and proteins. And maybe they don't eat meat, but they're eating protein. They're eating nuts. And maybe they're not enjoying steak and lobster, but by golly, they're sucking down vitamin pills. And so vegetarians aren't afflicted with parasites the way the rest of us normal run-of-the-mill Joe Sixpacks guys are, because we eat meat. Now, some of us Joe Sixpack guys over here, we're very conscious of health too, and we suck down vitamins and minerals, and we wash our lettuce, and we're very careful, and we worm ourselves every once in a while, just to be sure, just to be on the safe side, you know what I mean? It isn't that I've got worms, it's that maybe I got them, and if I got them, I'm going to get rid of them. So about two or three times a year, I'll whip out one of those 20 jars. Remember I told you in the last program I made about 20 jars of walnut tincture? There's other things you can use to kill those worms too. We'll talk a little about that as we proceed. And then I worm myself. And my wife worms herself, and Dirk worms himself, and so on. And so we worm the cattle, and we just do that, and we don't get sick. I've been sick for so long, I forgot what it's like. If I got sick, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be so shocked. And you'll be shocked, too, when you get rid of the worms and the parasites over there, and your body starts to heal itself, and you start eating a little better. And all of a sudden, you'll feel better, work harder, do more. You can get rid of that chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, when animals here on the farm, you know, when animals get sick, they fast. They're kind of nuts. We call it here, they're off their feed. They're off their feed. Well, when they go off their feed, what they're doing is fasting, and that means they're sick. There's something wrong with them. So right away, I say to myself, that cow's sick over there. She's off her feed. We got to do something for her. So what we do is we start looking at the nutritional balance of the cow. We say, is she getting enough protein? Is she loaded up with worms? And so, you know, I'll throw a pound of charcoal, activated charcoal, you know, aquarium charcoal, into a bucket of feed. That's to detoxify her. Then I might throw not the same time now, but you know, the next day, I might throw in a little silver. you know, that colloidal silver. Put a little of that in there, kind of kill any bacteria that might be baddies, you know, down inside of her. And then we always want to make sure that we got a mineral block out there for them so that they're always, you know, right up to date now on all the minerals that they need. And then sometimes we'll give them a shot of vitamin A. Now, I buy that vitamin A in gallon jugs. That's a good one. That vitamin A is a pretty good vitamin. And you throw a little of that in their feed, and all of a sudden, you know, with a few vitamins, a little detoxification, a little bacterial destruction, and all of a sudden that cow just pulls out. We don't use penicillin, drugs, and chemicals here. And another thing that we find here with animals, that animals are kind of unique. They're not very bright. They're pretty dumb. That's why we call them dumb animals. Dumb. But animals, if they have access to food, they'll eat it. For instance, I'm an observer, and I have been observing livestock all my life. I went to work for a guy when I was 13 on a chicken farm, and then I graduated to a dairy farm. And I've been raising beef cattle, sheep, and chickens just about all my life. And I like to watch them. And I notice that when you take dairy cows and you put them out on lush pasture, I mean, they can eat all of the clover and grass, and they get all the grain that they can eat. They get mastitis, and they get sick, and they die young. A dairy cow that lasts for 5 or 6 lactations, that's an old cow. Now, I remember an old guy one time, his name was Frank Roach, and he had a cow that was 18 years old. 18 years old. She'd had 16 calves. 16 calves, one a year, for 16 years. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. After all, I'd been to ag school, and I thought that was pretty amazing, especially after I read the book, said, well, 6 lactations is about the average. It's less than that if you're feeding those cows a lot of chemicals. Well, I noticed here, I've got cows here. I had one here, 23 years old, died of old age. That's about right, about 23, 25 years old, they die of old age. And what I've noticed is this. A cow goes out in the field, and we've got grass and clover, but we've also got weeds, and we've got trees, and we've got open forests. And they'll go into the forest, and they'll eat a bite of leaves, and they'll eat grass. They primarily eat grass and clover. They like that the best. But they'll eat oak leaves. They'll eat cedar berries. They'll eat dog fennel. I mean, you'd just be amazed at what those cows eat. And then here's another little thing I want to share with you. Show you how dumb these cows are. The calf comes over. See, a cow has a calf. That's when she starts milking. Starts a lactation, they call that in the big leagues. She starts lactating. That means that she's giving milk. And on the outside of the cow's teats, they call them T-E-A-T-S, teats. Down on the farm, we call them tits. But the real name is teats, see? That's when you want to be politically correct. You call them teats. When you want to be a farmer, you call them tits. Well, down here on the farm, the cow, when the calf is sucking on her tit, the saliva in the calf's mouth, which he has got that tit in his mouth sucking on it, sucking the milk out of this cow. Now, picture this, can you? I mean, it's kind of a wild, wild event. And that saliva surrounds that tit over there, and there are sensors on that tit, and it senses the calf's saliva, and it can determine, it can automatically, I guess it's like autopilot on a 747, determine that the calf is short some vitamin or mineral. Isn't that amazing? That's science. Science is called knowledge. And then the cow, within 24 hours, just watch this, within 24 hours, that cow will go out and find whatever it is that calf is short of. So let's suppose that the calf over here is short vitamin A. Well, the calf goes out and eats dog fennel, which is full of vitamin A. Or let's say that the calf is short of calcium. She runs over and she gets a bunch of lamb's quarter, and she's chowing down on lamb's quarter, which has 3 times as much calcium as does spinach. See, humans, they eat spinach. Cows eat lamb's quarter. And if you put spinach out there in front of a cow and lamb's quarter, the cow will eat the lamb's quarter every time. First. Isn't that amazing? You put GMO corn into one trough, and you put open pollinated corn into a second trough, and then turn the cow in, she'll come over and sniff them both. She'll eat the open pollinated first. She'll eat the GMO. If there's nothing else there, she'll eat that GMO corn. Just like a cow in the field, if there's nothing else there, she'll eat grass and clover. But if there's anything else out there that she needs, she'll go eat that because she knows what to get. Now, that's pretty good for a dumb animal. And that's why I say, I never cease to be amazed by random chance. I wouldn't want to give credit to God or an intelligent power or anything like that. But by God, I just am dumbfounded at random chance coming to the fore and creating a cow that has those tits, that senses the saliva on the calf's mouth, or from the calf's mouth, and then goes out and eats just exactly what that calf needs. And that's been observed and documented. Isn't that special? Don't you love it? Always remember evolution and random chance. There's just nothing like it. Now, if a deficient diet is not improved and the parasites are killed by medication, herbals, or electromedical means, reinfestation quickly occurs. But they gradually die out when the diet is made highly nutritious. Both parasites and worms infest animals that are deficient in vitamin A, whereas well-fed controls remain free of infestation. The entire intestines may also be filled with worms when animals are allowed to eat too little of an excellent diet to obtain the nutrients that they need. And if the worms are destroyed by medication, then the animals died of infections in the intestines. Yeah, I've observed that too. So here's the story. If the cow is eating everything that she wants and has available to her, and that's where the woods come in. They're really neat because there'll be grapevines in the woods, and there'll be lamb's quarter and poke and all kinds of crazy stuff out there that we just normally call weeds. Now, they don't live on that stuff exclusively. You know, they're just kind of like you. They eat Brussels sprouts sparingly. You know, once in a while they'll go out there and eat something that they need, just like you do. You'll go out there and eat some broccoli and Brussels sprouts. But primarily, you like Lady Godiva chocolates, and then, you know, worse comes to worse. You know, we'll suck up a Hershey's chocolate bar or a Mounds or something like that. I mean, we're not dumb, and neither are cows. They prefer grass and clover, but there's a little something special about cows. They won't pig out on Mounds and Lady Godivas until they give themselves colds and flus. They're very moderate and modest in their eating habits. Now, although intestinal parasites are surprisingly common, there are no known studies showing the effect of dietary improvement on humans infested with them. Now, we've got all kinds of studies made on cows and sheep and swine and etc. and about diet and worms. And we're real concerned about our cattle. We've never been very concerned about people. It is known, however, that a high intake of refined foods, particularly sweets, particularly Mounds, Almond Joys, and Lady Godiva chocolates, which supply little or no nutrient value, yet satisfy the appetite, cause individuals to become susceptible to pinworms, which thrive on sugar. Pinworms thrive on sugar. So if you want to get rid of your worms, one of the things you do is you stop eating sugar and you start eating garlic or walnut tincture or. So, and then that kills the worms. And the worms don't thrive very well on Brussels sprouts and broccoli, but they thrive on Mounds and Almond Joys. You know, you just make your choice in life and say, well, gosh, what do I want to do here? Do I want to get rid of these worms or do I want to feed them? You know, it's kind of like having a guest that comes to your house and he stays, and he kind of stays and stays and stays, and you're saying to yourself, well, gosh, how do I get rid of this guy? Well, don't feed him as well. I mean, if you got some guest who's been staying with you for a week or two or three or 5 weeks, and you'd like to get rid of him, you'd like to see him leave, stop feeding him. and he'll leave. But if you feed him real well, he ain't never going to leave. So, you know, if you invite me over to your house and you feed me Hershey's chocolate bars, I'm going to stay there forever. You feed me Brussels sprouts and broccoli, and I'm packing up and getting the hell out of there. And that's, you know, you make me smoke Pall Malls and take away my Roy Tan cigars, and all of a sudden, you know, you mean there's no more cigars? You take away the good Scotch whiskey and feed me Ripple, you know, and I'm not going to stay as your house guest. Well, unless, of course, when I was a wino, I might stay for a little Ripple if I was a wino. But research indicates that in any type of parasitic infestation, however, the diet should be unusually adequate and refined foods strictly avoided. If you want to get rid of worms, then you strictly avoid Hershey. Yogurt or acidophilus milk or culture appears to be especially helpful in cases of amoebic dysentery, and perhaps all intestinal infestations, and every effort should be made to maintain normal stomach acid, which destroys many parasites obtained from food. So here again, boys and girls, you know, you start eating right, and all of a sudden, your hydrochloric acid builds in your stomach and kills all the worms in there. That's bad news. Those worms, they don't like that hydrochloric acid. So, you know, if you're having stomach problems over here, good, healthy, nutritious food will do away with that. I know it's a wild new concept, and for most of you with degrees after your names, you know better than that, and you want to go to the doctor and get some real medicine that comes from Merck or Pfizer, you know, that's chemically tested. You know, real science. Other researchers have shown that parasites are particularly susceptible to a variety of herbs which are lethal only to these organisms. Yeah, like poke. That poke is poison. And you can eat poke and kill your worms. You can eat garlic and kill your worms. Of course, that garlic kind of drives away your friends. The other day, my driver, I had to go out to Nevada for a week. I taught a school out there, and my driver was feeling very poorly. And my driver is kind of a health food guy, you know, and he knows what to do. He said that he had overindulged and had intoxicated his body with toxic wastes and came down with a cold. And then I said, well, is this going to interfere with your ability to drive me out to Nevada, or do I need to get another driver? And he said, no, I'm going to be fine. I'm taking garlic. And good thing I was over the telephone, you know, and he said, I'm taking garlic. Boy, when he drove up and I got in his car, let me tell you, I could tell that he was eating garlic. I mean, that boy had a definite aroma about him. But, hey, that boy cured himself of that cold, that nasty cold, without any Tylenol, without any Vicks or mustard plasters. And he didn't spend any money on Tylenol or anything else. He just bought about one bulb of garlic and took it about one clove at a time. And by the time he got through with that one bulb of garlic, he was cured. Well, let me tell you, garlic would cure anybody. Let me tell you, I wasn't even sick, and I was cured. I mean, you just ride in the car with some guy that's eating garlic, and that'll cure you. I don't care what you've got, you'll get cured. So just tuck that one away in your heart. It's called a natural antibiotic. Garlic is a natural antibiotic. So, you mean, you can take penicillin if you want to. But, you know, before penicillin, there was garlic. And of course, you don't hear that, you know, in the medical schools. And you don't hear about that, you know, in high school and college and one thing and another. That there was antibiotics before they were discovered back in the 1930s. See, some guy discovered mold, you know, and he said, hey, this mold has this property to it that cures pneumonia and things like that. Garlic will do it just like a shot. Stinks real bad. I think that's why people prefer penicillin, because it doesn't stink bad like garlic does. So, other researchers have shown that parasites are particularly susceptible to a variety of herbs, spelled H-E-R-B-S. We call them herbs down here on the farm, but that's not politically correct. So you call them herbs, leave that H off, herbs, which are lethal only to these organisms. To date, there is no known cure-all herb which kills all stages of a parasite's larvae and eggs. Now, there are herbs that will kill the larvae, they will kill the parasite, and they will kill the eggs, but not all three. Now, as described, poisons and toxins in your body initiate and irritate the tissues, setting the stage for cancer. Now, these very same toxins also seem to allow the parasites to breed outside of their normal, natural life cycle, which usually involves leaving the host's body. It seems that with the increase in environmental pollution, the parasites in the presence of pollutants can complete their life cycle within the host's body. All right, so the dirtier your body is, the easier it is for these parasites to multiply and to live in your body. Now, pollutants and toxins. You know, you go to the store and you pick up a package and it says Oreos. And then you look where it says, what are these Oreos made out of? And it's got a lot of big words in there that you can't even pronounce. You know, like monosodium glutamate. Okay. Well, that monosodium glutamate and a lot of other chemicals and dyes and sprays and pesticides, etc., are toxic poisons. I mean, you know, they're real nasty. Now, you know, a lot of things are poison, but they don't cause you a lot of harm until you take them in sufficient quantities. Pokeberries, for instance, are poison if you take sufficient quantities of it. And I imagine a Hershey's chocolate would be toxic and would probably kill you if you could eat enough of it. So you want to remember, boys and girls, that a lot of things are toxic, but in small quantities, they can actually be medicines. You know, you can actually use them. Like pokeberries are toxic in large quantities, but they're actually a medicine. And so they're called herbs. And these herbs are mentioned in the Bible. And God gave us every green herb. If you go back to Genesis 1, verses 28 and 29, 30, along in there, he says, I've given you every green herb. Boys and girls, did you know marijuana is green? I mean, you know, before they dry it and sell it to... And cocaine, it isn't white in its natural form, it's green. And so is heroin. Did you know that? Yeah, God thought you could handle heroin, cocaine, and marijuana. It's your government that doesn't think you can handle it. So they have come to you and said, well, some of these herbs over here now are bad for you, like bloodroot, cocaine, marijuana. So some of these, the government says you can't have. Tuck that one away in your heart. Actually, they're medicines in the Bible, but they're toxic drugs and poisons to the state. Kind of depends on which God you're following this week, huh? All right, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll be back with more on these worms. They're kind of a fascinating little critter. Worms and intestinal parasites when we come back next time. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave them right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So thanks for listening. And until then, good night, friends.